Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is a Perek Yud Dalet in Kelim, and we are up to Mishnah Gimel. So once again, we're talking about things that become Tame because the main part is metal, even though they have a required part, which is wood. So they would have a handle that's wood. So let's say you have a kantar, Shalbanai, you can understand from the word kantar, which is the thing that is going to get you into trouble. The kantar would be this metal piece that you use to smash walls with. It's got a wooden handle. The same thing would be true about a pick that a carpenter uses to make holes in wood. It's got a handle that's wood. It's got that sharp, you know, you've seen this, a common tool. It still is tummy, even though you're saying, but most of it's wood. Who cares if most of it is wood? The part of it that is used, the tool part, the main part, therefore, is the metal piece. Yetedot ha'ohalim, the pegs for tents, which you stick into the ground when you need the tent to stand up against the wind, and pegs that you use if you're doing a surveying job, you stick a peg into the ground, you wrap your rope around the peg, and then you bring it to the next peg and so on, and you take the full extent of the rope as the measurement of the property, even though they are used by banging them into the ground, that doesn't matter because they're not attached to the ground. They're just being held in place. And therefore, they're tameot because they are metal kalim that are meant to be used on their own. How about a shalshelet shalmashalchot tmeah? There's also a chain that is used, and that's much more reliable because the string that you wrap around the pegs is obviously going to be very sensitive to different temperatures and different humidity and different tension, and therefore is not going to get you a very reliable measurement of a property. And so because of that, a good surveyor will use these metal chains that are not that sensitive. And over there, even though you attach them to the ground, it's also tamei. If it's a chain that's made for tying up a bundle, let's say, and then you click it onto that, is tahor, because that does not have a shame of a kli. It's just the wrapper of the package. How about the chain of a dli? So if this is a large dli, a dli agadol, so if it's very large, then the problem is that it's very heavy. And in those cases, you try to keep control of your dli by keeping your hand close to the bucket. And that's why only four tvachim of it is considered to be a direct extension of the bucket. Any additional amount is not considered to be really a yad to the bucket. This is a tuma mitzad yadayim. Remember, anything that is used to hold something is also machdes and motzi tuma because of the din of yad. But if it's a small bucket, then even 10 tvachim is considered to be a yad. How about a chamor shel napachim? A chamor is basically a chamor. In other words, we look at a chamor as a four-legged, really dumb animal. So for all instance, when we talk about a dumb waiter, right? What is a dumb waiter is a chamor. The idea over here is that the kind of things that you make, that they basically look like a chamor, you know, the way that a carpenter puts up that table, it's got these two legs and a piece on top, at the back is two legs and a piece on top. Looks something like a chamor, right? So that's the chamor of a carpenter. A chamor of a napach has got a place where the bellows stand that's quite heavy and allows you to push against them, against the chamor. So that is certainly considered to be tamei, even though it's made out of wood in some parts of it. But the part that is giving the strength to be able to hold a napach, which is going to be under a lot of pressure, is metal. And because of that, it is able to be mekabel tuma. Now, if you made a saw and you have this saw inserted into what I believe the pshat is, which unfortunately is not what everybody holds the pshat is, but I do have smach from some of the mefarshim. What I believe the pshat is a hacksaw. It's simply talking about a hacksaw. So the din of the hacksaw in the Mishnah is that if you put the blade into the hacksaw in a way that the blade faces downwards, as opposed to when you put the hacksaw away in a drawer, you could flip the blade, and that way the blade faces upward. So what you did is you put the shinaim of the, that's the teeth of the saw, are now contained in a groove. All right, some hacksaws are made that way. Other ones are made by the little two pieces that hold it on. But you stick in the blade into a groove in the top, and it's pointing downwards, so then it's tameh. But if it's pointed upwards, then it's tahar. The kol hakisuyim tahorim, all we saw before that covers, except we had the case of the covering of the teni, of the hospital teni, which is used for holding bandages and the different things that the doctors use. But normally a household teni, we said, are considered to be, even the kisui of a teni is tahar. But the kisui of a mecham, which we said was the big samovar, that is often used as its own kli, and it's called the cover, not the cover of the mecham necessarily. Moving on now to discuss the issue of the yoke and the wagon, which this, of course, is in those days one of the most common kalim that you would have. It would be like talking about a carburetor in a car, whether it's going to be mekabel tuma, or, you know, is the timing chain considered to be mekabel tuma, and so on. So it's very, very, perhaps this particular type of car is not, you know, I mean, it's basically the same idea. You know what they say? A car is basically a horse, you know, but instead of legs, it has these round things. And instead of eyes, it has headlights. And instead of a thing that you could pull to direct it, the reins, it's got a steering wheel. Yeah, right. Anyway, but the same ideas may apply here. So the parts of an agala, which of course includes the motor, which is the oil that you put around the ox or whatever is used to pull it. So there are parts that are tameh and parts that are tahar. Let's talk about the parts that are tameh first. Ha'ol shel matechet. I think we're going to need over here. That is a nice picture, but I think we've got an even nicer picture in full color by Naftali. This is terrible, Alon. You know, you're being upended here by the same people who attacked you over there. You know, you came there to Israel, and they're following you around with better pictures. What are you going to do now? My God, the designer. Bring us designer pictures. Okay, put that up. We can make that. You can click on that particular screen, and you can get Naftali's picture on your whole screen.
Is that going to push back Naftali?
No, you can do it yourselves. Just click on that, and that takes up your whole thing. So you'll notice that what you got over there is you got the oil itself. The oil is that curvy piece of metal on top. That curvy piece of metal is inserted in both of those oxen, if you notice, into the plate that's on top of their neck, and it fits into a groove that has a little screw in it that you can then screw it in, right? And then it has a ring that's right there between the two oxen that is used for pulling on them, okay? And then you've got the harness. Now, the harness is the part that's underneath the neck. And then you've got these additional pieces, which is a crossbar, which is called a katriv. You've got the decorative parts, which are the avar. That's the lead that we learned earlier that are used to decorate the shvarim. You also have, interestingly enough, two musical items. One of them is a bell and clapper, and the other one is a wind chime, which, of course, in this case doesn't move because of the wind, because it moves because of the walking of the shor. We're going to see an interesting nafkamina lahalacha between the bell and the wind chime. So let's take a look at all of these things. So the metal part, which is the ol, obviously can become tummy. The crossbar that we had, the katrav, also can become tummy. The knafayim and the kablot are ritzuot. Now, those are the tips over there. If you take a look at the kanaf, it sort of sticks out, looks like a horn coming out of the crossbar at the end. Well, that is used to attach the straps to. Sometimes they are. You'll see there's another type, which is just used for decoration. And then the barzel that's underneath the animal's neck, that protects the neck. Because like this, it's going to get hurt with the straps. And then you have the ring, which is the somech. And then you've got a marger. The marger is that we said that's the harness around the neck. Then you've got a tamchuyot. And those are those metal things that the ol went into that you screw it in. And then you have the tsinora. So you've got the hook that holds the load. And then you've got a masmer that connects anything to anything else where you stick it. Oh, excellent. Naftali's got a whole list of the, oh, beautiful. Each thing separate. Perfect. Perfect. Okay, so that would be what each one of these implements looks like separately. Now, that's this mishnah. These are the tummy parts. Now, the next mishnah talks about the tahar parts. So if you've got a wood oil, that's considered to be pshute kli eitz, even if it's covered with metal, because the main part is wood in that case. If you've got knafayim, you've got those same nice little horny things at the end of the crossbar. Well, you know, when things got more modern, they just continued making them for decoration like they did in the early cars, you know, where part of the car was still looked like the way it was when it was part of a horse-drawn vehicle. So they kept using it, but that's decorative, and a decorative kli for a kli is not mekabel tuma. And how about those wind chimes, the shofarot ha-mashmiot ha-takol? That is not considered to be tuma, even though we learned, so I skipped before, that the bell is mekabel tuma. And the difference between them is that a bell is mekabel tuma because of the fact that it is a shimush for the adam. Because a bell is essentially a way for you, as the owner, to find your wandering oxen. But the wind chimes are not loud, and they're only there as a musical decoration, a fascinating issue. So a musical decoration is called a decoration, like all decorations, and is not metame as a kli, unless you actually are using it as part of what you're listening to. Then the avar, which is the lead decorations that come down the side of the neck. And then if you surround your wooden wheel with a metal rim in order to protect it, the metal rim is butel to the wheel, which is made out of wood, and therefore it will not be mekabel tuma. And different sheets of metal that are also hung for beauty. Tzipuyim, any metal plating that doesn't make it the ikur of the kli, and all other kinds of nails, as opposed to the one we discussed in the Mishnah before, which were connectors, other nails, which we had seen in the Mishnah 2 yesterday, which are decorative nails, you know, what do you call those tacks, you know, with the nice tops, you know, nice copper tops. They use that today as well very often. So anything like that, all these decorative things are all tahar. Now, how about the sandalim that are made? They make these metal shoes to put over the feet of an animal to protect them from getting hurt on stones and so on. And they're made out of metal. Now, normally, kalim that are made for an animal are not included in the dinim of begadim. Nonetheless, these kalim are. The reason that they are is because they are used in wartime, where the soldiers who may not have a suitable place to take a drink would be able to share some water, get some water out, and take it with them by taking off the shoe of the animal and using it as a water. No, it's not horseshoes. It's an actual cleat. It's makabel mayim. So it goes, it's like a boot, so to speak, a round boot that you put over the leg of the animal. And they would use it for drinking. So therefore, it is mishamesh adam. And it certainly is going to be mekabel tuma. But the same kind of thing that was sometimes made not out of metal, but was made out of sham, which is reeds, which is kli eitz, even though kli eitz that has a base kibbel is mekabel tuma, here they're only for an animal because those are not used for drink because it doesn't hold water. It's made out of reeds. Now, the next piece, I believe, is here only because of this. The way that the Mefarshim explain it, it seems to have absolutely nothing to do with the halacha of the Mishnah, and it's just throwing in something that doesn't make any sense. So the Mefarshim learned that we're talking about over here, if you had a rusted kind of sayif, at what point is it once again tame when you fix it? But I think the point over here is that we're continuing on the sugya of wartime emergency usage. So obviously it is not normal for humans to drink out of shoes on an animal's foot. In wartime, a lot of things that are usually not normal become normal because of the emergency that you find yourself in fighting for survival. So the question over here would be, if your sword is rusty, at what point does it become shaykh to tumah, even though it's not in its perfect state? So you're unable to sharpen your sword. But at what point would it still be makabel tumah? Mishia shufeno. When you can smooth it down, even though it's not sharp, that's good enough, because you can still kill someone with giving a good lunge. Masha'inkein, a knife you can't really use for cutting things. I mean, those are things you're supposed to be able to use for cutting off a piece of wood, and so it's got to be sharp. So a knife is only shayach, even in wartime, to be tummy when it's really sharp, not when it's just smooth, because otherwise it's unusable. I think that makes a heck of a lot of sense fitting in and right there into the Mishnah.